Did Thompson Fanatics hit a home run, or did they strike out with their big release of Tom Brady baseball cards this week? Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to another episode of Cards on the Table. Happy 12-14 day, Doug.
Sure, thanks.
I don't know if that quite has the same ring as 12-12 day teapot, but you know what? We're here on 12-14 day. We're going to have a good conversation nonetheless about all of the going-ons in the sports card hobby this week, and especially the big release on 12-12 day a couple of days ago of the Tom Brady Expos first Bowman cards in the new Bowman Draft product. Now, this wasn't just the release of a card that was hyped, but it was much more than that. Topps and Fanatics put together an entire ad campaign, including a very well-produced, fancy commercial full of stars, including Tom Brady in a 60-second commercial. Pedro Martinez was in there. I think Larry Walker was in the commercial, right? I mean, they brought out the stars for the commercial. And then you had Eli Manning doing a social video that relates back. Then all of a sudden you get hit with Bill Belichick having Topps Now cards in an Expo jersey. And of course, this is all building on the hype of Tom Brady's Expo card, which was in this Bowman draft set, his first Bowman card in his Expo jersey. Some of them autographed, some of them with really cool inscriptions. And so it has been a week where we have started to see the marketing muscle of Topps and Fanatics and their PR teams and their social teams and their video production teams all coming together and creating a lot of buzz around the release of a new card set. That all sounds great. But there are some that think this was a total strikeout, that it wasn't a home run, that this was bad for the hobby, that this whole entire thing created a bunch of overhype and drove up prices for a product that maybe didn't need it or deserve it. What do we think, guys? Was this a home run? Was this a strikeout? Doug, I'm going to start with you today.
Bad for the hobby is certainly a take. I don't know where you would get that conclusion. I will say, though, that I don't care about the card and I don't care about the product. What I do care about is the marketing campaign, and I think it's amazing what they did with this. I know people in the comments get really mad when we say nice things about Fanatics because we're just, you know, we're shilling to them or whatever. But I've got to give it up to them. This is one of the things that we hoped to see when they entered in the sports card hobby, was that their promise to ramp up marketing and advertising would come to fruition. And for them to turn 12-12 into Tom Brady Day without even having the football license and turning it into a baseball celebration, yeah. Think of all the non-collectors this probably reached. People that just follow all these athletes on their various social media platforms. You mentioned some of the names like Pedro Martinez and Eli Manning and Bill Belichick's on there, and the list goes on. This reached more non-collectors than probably any other promotion we've seen since we've started doing this, right? And I think that's what really matters. It was really inventive. It was really well put together. And they created all this hype and they created this day without even having the license to football. Imagine when they have the licenses, they can actually do all the things that they want to do. That's what I really think is the biggest takeaway for me, is we've seen a glimpse of the marketing they promised. And I think that reach that they promised is realistic.
Teapot, do you agree with Doug, or do you think this is just ridden with failure?
No, I mean, I think the melodramatic, you know, cry wolf people out there need to take a chill pill. Pump the brakes a little bit. It's ironic. We hear all these people all the time talking about, well, I don't care that card prices went up or that they came down because I'm a collector and I just collect no matter what happens. And then those same people go, you're ruining the hobby that I love by being innovative and doing new things. Like, which is it?
Yeah,
pick your basket. Yeah. Like, what is the hobby? What are you talking about? And there's no way that a Tom Brady card, which is only one of a kind, into a Bowman draft product in 1 year is going to destroy the hobby. That's a bit hyperbolic, I think. So I applaud Fanatics, like we've talked about, same thing as Doug, for the marketing. We're seeing the reach and the network and the influence and the levers that they can pull to do some really cool things. That commercial was so well put together. Every little detail, all the different things, being able to play off the Atlanta collapse and the Giants, being a Giants baseball team, yeah, having Pedro Martinez and Vlad Guerrero in the commercial, like so many little things in that. It was really, really well done. And I love that exposure and that creativity. They're following through on what they said they're going to do. Does the Brady card appeal to me? No, it feels a bit like lipstick on a pig. It's like it's kind of like when Panini came out with Prism Flashbacks, and then they started making new 2012, you know, Prism cards of modern players. You know, I don't know, they're retro cards or whatever, that retrofractor thing. It's kind of a niche thing, I think. But here's what's really interesting. There's an old guard, there's prevailing currents of thought within the hobby. And some of us might shake our fist or even just go, that doesn't really do anything. But what if Fanatics is changing the mindset and the paradigm for a certain group of people, for younger collectors and for new people who are coming in who don't know any better? Many of us who've been at this for a while might wake up one day and literally look around and go, this isn't the hobby that I once knew. And they're just going to have to confront that reality and figure out what your own little niche is.
I think these are all excellent points. I mean, I am largely a massive fan of what they did, because they did deliver on the marketing exposure that they promised. I want to speak briefly from the perspective of a soon-to-be card shop owner. One of the things that got me excited and motivated to open up a card shop was when Fanatics leadership told me a while ago, this is like not anything new, they told me a long time ago that one of their strategies was to really define what made each product release exciting, unique, different, and really heavily lean into it and try to build excitement and hype around every single new product release that comes out. Give it purpose. That's what they're delivering on, whether it was, you know, the Victor Wembanyama cards and the special event that was associated with that, with, you know, Bowman, you've got those first moment cards that were added to Inception. You had the NFL or the NH or the MLB debut patches that were in Topps Chrome update. Now you've got the Brady cards in Bowman draft. Every single one of these products is getting some type of unique thing that keeps people wanting it, interested in it, talking about it, chasing it. That drives business. And as a card shop owner, that's exciting to me to know that on every release day, I'm going to have a line of collectors that want to come in. They're excited about that product because there's something for them to be excited about. And we didn't have that for the last several years. There were times when both Panini and Topps would release product after product, and you'd look at half of them and be like, this product's pointless. It's a duplicate of eight other products. Hey, why did they do it? You know, now they seem to have more meaning and purpose. So I think it's great. I hope we continue to see this stuff in the future. I know we ran over time there.
That was a solid rant.
We ran over time, but I had something to say. I think it's good for the growth and the future of the hobby. I also think this is good. We're going to switch gears here a little bit. I also think it is a good time to get Zion Williamson cards at a massive discount, fraction of what you would have had to pay for those cards a couple of years ago. And a really nice Zion, a horizontal RPA, number to 49 from National Treasures, a really nice one, is up for auction on Pristine Auction right now. It's a BGS 8.5. You would have paid an unbelievable amount of money for that card a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Now it's probably going to be a little bit overlooked. And so that's one that I actually have my eyes on right now on Pristine Auction. How about you, Teapot?
Completely opposite direction. I'm going Mickey Mantle, who shares a birthday with me. 1954 Bowman, BVG5, really nice looking copy. It's Mantle.
Can't go wrong. How about you, Doug?
12-12, the marketing got to me. Looking at a Tom Brady 2021 Super Bowl ticket that's signed by Tom Brady, inscribed with Super Bowl MVP, and it's a PSA slab and a PSA 10.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Those are all nice. All of those items and thousands more are all for auction right now on pristineauction.com. And you need to register for Pristine Auction. Put in registration code SCI. Promo code SCI when you register. You're going to get $10 in your account towards your first purchase for free at pristineauction.com. Okay, Teapot, on the Market Movers YouTube channel this last weekend, you did a data dive video where you looked at football cards. You kind of talked about some of the rookie quarterbacks, all the challenges, all the newer quarterbacks in the NFL, the challenges we've seen this year, tons of injuries, tons of bad things happening.
Yeah.
And you did a comparison to guys like Peyton Manning and Eli Manning and Drew Brees and some of these great historical quarterbacks over time, and kind of looked at their top selling cards. And it kind of led its way into a interesting philosophical discussion. Tell us a little bit about this, and then Doug and I are going to have to express some strong opinions
here. It's nothing new that I haven't covered in the past, making comparisons of all-time greats to modern players. And that's sort of a known paradigm. It's just a known dynamic. There's always going to be upcharges on new guys because they're active and we're all excited about having their cards. But, you know, making some of those comparisons, yes, I was looking at the injury landscape. This was before Herbert was out for the season. Now, too, it just continues. Players who aren't living up to expectations, some of which we talked about on this show last week. The big question is, all this new money, all these new people, some of whom have stayed, some have gone, but some have stayed, and there's more coming. Does this era and people getting immersed into sports cards now help prop up the floor of the prices of some of these cards and of the overall ultra modern landscape that we know now? These prices are so inflated, more than we've ever seen in history, more than any other era. The products are different. There are more high-end things, but overall, they're just very, very high. As we see many players fall off, will the most notable ones from this era still continue to command price premiums because people just have those cards and they hold those cards and there's no liquidation event happening for Patrick Mahomes or somebody else like that foreseeably into the future relative to those older, you know, older players? Will Giannis always be more expensive, you know, than Patrick Ewing or Tim Duncan or whomever? Yeah. Like that's kind of the question mark around all this. So that was sort of the philosophical thing, and it's not something I've really ever heard anybody else talk about. Mm-hmm. Just all this money, is it here to stay, just being redistributed from current into new players?
That's interesting. Or will they just all crash at some point because they're outlandish compared to some of the historical guys, you know, who are better than some of these current guys? I don't know. What do you think, Doug?
I'm leaning more towards what you just said. You know, maybe I've been a little too positive. Maybe I've been pumping sunshine a little bit, so I'm going to get back to some negativity here. And I actually think that they probably won't hold up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously speculation. It's going to be years before we have the answer to this. But I think once these key players, the ones that don't turn out to be all-time greats, these key players that we have now in various sports, once they're not playing anymore and they're out of sight and out of mind, I think you'll start to see that downward trend and they're going to settle down with or below the guys that you're talking about, these other all-time greats that are pretty cheap, right? So these guys are expensive now that we're propping up because we're speculating on them or because we enjoy watching them play and we like to have the cards of the guys we're watching. It's all fun now, but I do think eventually the guys that aren't all-time greats will, you know, kind of bottom out.
Maybe not. A counter argument to that is look at the price of precious metal gems cards.
Yeah.
There are plenty of secondary players, not guys that are in the all-time great category, whose PMGs, whose star rubies, some of the more, you know,
okay, but that's more about the PMG inserts or the star ruby. It's not the player.
Yeah. Sure, I agree. Yeah. But you could say the same thing is true today, maybe about the National Treasures RPA or the Flawless RPA. Sure. So maybe the price of some of these, you know, guys, National Treasures RPAs, Flawless RPAs, will still hold up 20, 30, 40 years from now just because people love the card.
Yeah.
The same way that they love exquisites from, you know, 15 years ago, or the same way they love PMGs from the 90s. I don't know.
So that I can agree with. There'll be certain exceptions to that for sure. But I just think, you know, if you're looking generally as a player overall, you're profiling players, I think their overall market will start to go way down with exceptions like key cards, maybe.
It's fair. I mean, there are so many cards today of so many of the modern players printed so much that you have to worry about that a little bit. What you don't have to worry about is making your collection look awesome if you put it on top of a stand-up display. And check this out, guys. Stand-up Displays now has these official MLB-licensed team stands on their website, standupdisplays.co. This Dodger stand, absolutely perfect for a Shohei Ohtani card. Got to get Ohtani now on the Dodger stand, right? Whatever team you like to collect, Stand-up Displays has a stand for you. They're all available at standupdisplays.co. So go grab your stands at standupdisplays.co. Okay, let's get to the mailbag. We got some questions that people suggested either in our Instagram stories or our YouTube comments. One was around Shohei Ohtani's Topps Now card, which just shattered an all-time record. Speaking of Shohei Ohtani, he signs with the Dodgers. Topps Now does a card saying that he's going with the Dodgers. It sold over 100,000 copies in the day or so that was available to purchase on Topps' website. It shows that these on-demand types of products, Topps Now, Panini Instant, these things definitely seem here to stay. They get a lot of traction. What does this sale of these Shohei cards mean to you, Teapot? Or is this just all junk that's going to be worthless soon?
We've talked about Topps Now in the past, and you know what? It's growing on me. Yeah. Topps Now is growing on me. Sports is all about iconic moments that we remember, and Topps Now captures those moments much better than most of the distributed products do. There's definitely something to be said for pack-pulled cards. This, I like that it's on demand and that it's truly to the demand of whatever anybody wants at that particular time. Now, you've got people buying many copies of this card. I think it's really interesting, and I do think there could be long-term demand for these cards. The biggest thing with Topps Now, for me, and it might sound weird, they've got to fix the Now logo. It doesn't look good. The font and the lettering, it just looks tacky. Yeah. Like the actual Now logo looks tacky. If they made that really nice, like a foil finish, something a little more subtle, think back to the 90s with the first day issue, little refractive rainbow foil image or something like that. The back of the cards, and a lot of people don't know this unless they've held one, already have this like foil finish that says like Now or Topps Now across the back very subtly, which looks really nice. The card stock is nice. It's really cool being able to get Chase parallels, you know, at random when you get them. I will say, for being called Topps Now, they definitely don't come now. They take like 3 weeks to arrive when you order them, which is kind of annoying. But I like it overall. I hope they don't overdo it. Just stick to the best moments for the best players. But then again, maybe that's not a problem anyway, since it's always going to be printed to demand.
What do you think, Doug?
So on-demand in general, I like the concept, just like Teapot said. I thought it was interesting. We found out this is the first on-demand card to exceed 100,000 print run. Does that mean that the previous record holder was the 2020, the Topps Project 2020, King Griffey Jr., Keith Shore card that did like 99,000?
Yeah.
And we saw what happened to that.
Like,
that
just... I don't know, it's not officially Topps Now card, but you're right.
But it's an on-demand card.
It was an on-demand card. You're right,
And it tanked an entire market.
Yeah.
So I think... if you're going to take away anything from that this Ohtani card won't be worth anything, probably, because there's so many of them available.
Yeah.
But not every card has to be worth money. You can just collect a card that you like, that you think is cool, that's a moment that means something to you, that doesn't ever have to grow in value. I've got a ton of 90s Bo Jacksons that will never grow in value, but they make me happy, so I keep buying them. That's kind of the thing with Topps Now. You can either collect an iconic moment that you really enjoy that means something, or because of some of the innovations they've done, like serial numbered cards, or they did the image variation, the super short print image variation with Bryce Harper. They've done some really creative things, and I think they even did one with Belichick, right? They did like a Topps Now Belichick auto inscription. They've done some creative things to make even just these casual cards very valuable, very collectible beyond just the actual moment itself. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's here to stay for sure, and I think it's a good thing overall.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with all that. I think that makes sense. All right, let's go to our next mailbag question. This one about what Michael Rubin, the founder, leader of Fanatics, said on the Bill Simmons podcast. It was a little over a week ago, maybe a week or two ago. He had some really interesting comments. It was a really good interview. It was like probably about a 45-minute interview overall, but he spent a good amount of the interview talking about sports cards and Topps and gave a lot of insights there. A couple of things he said that really jumped out at me. One is he said that redemptions have been reduced by 95% in new products compared to prior years. Another thing he said is that they're having the randomization of boxes audited by Deloitte to ensure they're being distributed. And Teapot's whole conspiracy theory about the biggest breakers getting loaded boxes is in fact nothing but a unproven conspiracy theory. He said these two things. Doug, what do you think about the redemption reduction? Did this surprise you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy does this make you?
Makes me really happy. Does it surprise me? A little bit. If that number is true, 95%, but how did they get to that number? And I'll kind of touch on that quickly. But one of my biggest pet peeves is redemptions. When you're opening a box, or you're joined a break, or you're even performing a break, one of the last things you want to see in place of your guaranteed hit is a redemption or points, right? Redemptions may take months, years, or may never come when you try to submit one. When I first got back involved in the hobby in 2018, 2019, I tried to buy a bunch of Josh Allen 2019, the good Josh Allen, not the fat quarterback, the good defensive end. I tried to buy a bunch of Josh Allen rookie autographs from Select 2019. They're all redemptions. I bought a ton of them, redeemed them all, never got a single one. They gave me a bunch of junk cards back instead. I've been burned by redemptions. Never want to see them again. As long as they're doing this the right way, as long as they're still keeping the quality of the autographs high, and as long as the product's still coming out relatively on time and they're maintaining, you know, that 95% reduction, then it's amazing news. But if they've reduced this by 95% and they've cut out important player autographs because they couldn't get them, or the products have to be delayed by months because it's taking a long time to come back, then it's, still not that great of a resolution.
Yeah, fair. I mean, at least they're focused on it and thinking about it, which is a good thing. They're making a point of it. What about the boxes, Teapot? When Michael Rubin says we've got Deloitte auditing to ensure that boxes are distributed randomly, cards are put in boxes randomly, that it's fair for everybody, what are your thoughts?
That's great. I'm happy to hear that. I think it would be really nice to have some transparency That would be another nice step in the right direction. Some transparency into their collation process, into their randomization process, understanding how they guarantee that hits get into products, but they don't know which hit is going where. I think that they did this, Fanatics and Topps did this, to cover their butts legally, because there's a lot of accusations swirling. We debated the numbers previously about Panini, not about Topps. I won that debate and proved that the numbers didn't make any sense, mathematically impossible. That was Panini. Is Panini coming out and saying, hey, we've got Deloitte? Nobody's really showing us what this process looks like. And that, at the end of the day, that's all the collector wants. Everybody wants to know they're not getting hosed, that nobody's getting preferential treatment. So I think, you know, unfortunately, the one thing that's not surprising to me is that the Tom Brady superfractor got hit on day one of release. That happens a lot. I don't know if there's any funny business with that. Probably not. But it does happen a lot. It seems like it either happens in the first 2 to 3 days or like months out. There's no in between. And I don't know what percent of product is opened.
That's my
in
question.
The first 2 to 3 days.
A lot.
But it didn't surprise me. And it's kind of a bummer, in my opinion, just to see it like, here, it's gone. It's no longer a chase.
Yeah, I would love to chase that forever, like a Steph Curry superfractor or a Luka Black.
Or a Luka Black.
Yeah, those are cool cards. I don't think that there would be any type of reason why Topps or Fanatics would want that pulled on day one.
I don't either.
It actually devalues the product a little bit. They'd rather it be in a box still in a month or two from now. So the price of those products continues to rise and rise.
Give us the audit reports. Let us know how it's going.
Okay. All right. We'll tell them to direct the audit reports over here to Teapot. Attention Teapot here in the Sports Card Investor Studio. All right, guys, we appreciate you watching today. Hopefully you enjoyed the video. Give it a like, give it a subscribe if you did. And make sure to go check out standupdisplays.co to get your own card stands such as these. We appreciate you. See you next time. Take care.